Hello, this is Helpfully Yours, a podcast devoted to sharing and discussing stories of helping. I'm your host, Dr. Holly Howitt. In June, I wanted to talk with you all about people who have had a positive impact on my life. And Melissa Bowen is one of those people. Melissa is my life coach, and she has helped me grow into myself personally and professionally. Melissa is a licensed professional counselor as well as a life coach. She is a certified Daring Way facilitator and loves Brené Brown just as much as I do. Melissa also has a deeply creative side. She's a performer who sings, acts, and more. In fact, she'll be featured in the upcoming 9-to-5 musical at Wonderland Performing Arts. So let's start the interview with Melissa. Hi, Melissa, and welcome to the Helpfully Yours podcast.
Hi, Holly. I'm so excited to be with you.
Well, good. I'm really excited that you are here, too. And I know that you know a lot about me from, you know, me talking about myself during our life coaching sessions. And I know some about you because we're also friends. But I'm really excited to learn a little bit more and see what stories that you brought for us today. So let's just jump right into the first question, which is, tell me about a time that you helped someone.
Yeah, and I love the topic. I think it's such a great topic, Holly, and the podcast is wonderful, so thanks for having me. So this was an interesting question because as a counselor and a coach, we call it the helping profession. You know, like that's just what an industry term for it. So I wanted to be sure to answer and come to you with stuff that was not so much work related, you know. A time when I helped someone separate, like in my personal life, was recently in one of the shows that I was doing. You know, I do theater, and I do know, I've learned about myself that I am a good listener. It's taken me a while to appreciate that that's a skill and a gift and something that is very helpful. But so in the play, you know, I mean, life happens, like everywhere we are, people are going through things. And in some of the rehearsals, like there was a teenager one time who was having an emotional time with a parent, and I just listened to her for less than 5 minutes, I'm sure. And then another cast member who is going through some stuff at home with an aging parent, which I can totally relate to. And she was having a day, and she, you know, I could tell something was going on. And so I just asked, how are you doing? And then to wait for the real answer. And so she just started to share with me a little bit. And that is helpful to people where they can feel heard or understood, feel loved, and then they can go about whatever they were doing. And in these instances, rehearsal and, you know, the business of putting on a play. Just feeling loved and understood.
So, it seems like, and I've never done a play, but it seems like that's probably an opportunity where you get to know people really well because you're together for long periods of time.
Oh my goodness.
Is that true?
Oh, for sure. I love the analogy of theater, in how it can expound on everything about life in general, because you are thrown into what I call full body vulnerability immediately. You're working hard every day, asking people to do awkward, uncomfortable, you know, exposed things, like, you know, putting yourself out there for judgment and whatnot and trying new things. And so you connect quickly It's just an interesting analogy of life, and then it's over. And so it becomes a very precious relationship. So I do love the relationships and the connection that theater provides, for sure.
Yeah. And so I'm really curious, you know, how do you navigate like seeing that or like intuiting, I'm not sure, but hopefully people understand what I mean, but like kind of figuring out that maybe someone has something going on and then like approaching them. How do you navigate that? Just not as a professional, but just as like a personal,
as a friend. That it's hard, you know, because we're all going through our own stuff too. And you can't follow every thread. What, you know, it's hard to discern when you have your own personal capability to help someone and be there for someone, because we're all going through our own stuff too. I think when you notice something and you want to invest in that relationship and you care about that person enough to say, hey, is something going on? Not that you have to share with me, but I just want you to know that I care about you. And that really can be it, because not everybody wants to share stuff. Not every time is appropriate. You know, I mean, like, obviously, if I'm in a rehearsal and somebody's going through stuff, it's not the greatest time to sit and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so none of these were long conversations, but you, just to say, hey, I see something's going on with you, and I just want you to know I'm here, mm-hmm. or do you need a hug? And that's less than 30 seconds of connecting that someone can just breathe and say, oh, it's nice to feel seen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change the situation, but it can change them in it, because they're suddenly not alone. And so that doesn't take a lot of time or energy to do that.
Yeah. So do you think that, like, you talking to both the teenager or the young adult and the other person, do you think that, like, that had lasting impact on your relationship with them? Or what do you think happened after that?
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, we're closer because of it. We will now talk more next time. And it's not like we may not be besties or talk all the time, but I know when I see them again, I know something about their life. They know something about me, and we're just a little bit more connected. And again, just less alone. So it may not, in the grand scheme of things, feel like, oh, it's life changing, but it kind of is. Every time we make a connection, it changes how we are in our own lives. I think that's where the magic is. So I think on cellular levels, to be philosophical about it, it does. It shifts us. I'm closer to these people because of little things like that. It's all about the little things. It's just little things, a bunch of little things strung together that make up big things.
I completely agree with you on that. Well, let's kind of switch topics now and tell me about a time when you were helped.
This one was hard, Holly.
Yes.
I think for a couple of reasons. Because I think we don't all, let me just speak for myself here. I don't always ask for help. I think a lot of times we just get so busy, I don't see how people are actually helping me on a regular basis. But then back to point number one, I don't allow myself to get helped a lot. I think as people, it's a hard thing to do. So it was a good question, because you made me think about it, and I found lots of ways that people helped me, and it made me feel grateful, which I think is the point. Most recently, my mom passed away in November.
Yes.
And me and my sisters received so much, an outpouring of love. And that feels like an automatic, but people don't have to do a lot of the things that they did that helped us get through that. Bringing food, that's help. The fact that we didn't have to think about what to eat on a daily basis for a while was helpful. Then for the reception, people brought chairs and drinks and stuff, and then they were magically gone. And so we didn't have to worry about that stuff either. And so that was helpful. And then anytime we did ask someone for something, people were on it, you know. And so the asking became easier because we knew people were ready to help us, and help us with arrangements. And it was a great help. And so then as I started to think of all the different places that I have been helped, it just makes you feel so grateful. My husband had to be away for like 4 months in another country for work, and people helped me then, cutting the grass. I had people to call when stuff went wrong in the house, or a time that I had a hysterectomy. This was ages ago, but people, again, bringing food or helping me dress or shower. You know, it's just when you allow yourself to be helped, it's actually really very special time. So those were just a handful of ones that really stood out for me.
I'm really interested in like what you said about like when your mom passed away, mm-hmm. and you know, you were, you know, just going through that initial grieving time, is that people just started helping and then it made it easier for you to ask for what you needed. I'm curious if you have any insights about like why like someone just, you know, starting to help makes it easier to ask for more help.
Yeah. Okay. That is tricky because when people are in hard times, sometimes we want to give them space or we don't know what to say. So we end up saying nothing. And so what I noticed, because this was so recent, was when people were proactive in just the doing and even the saying, you know, the texting or the messaging and the reiterating of, I don't know what to do, but I'd like to do something, so let me know. You know, sometimes we just got to take people up on that offer.
Yes.
And so when, you know, my cousin said, what do you need from us? Do you need anything for the reception? And so it's like, yes, drinks. I need drinks. Mm-hmm. And so then when you say yes to that and they get to fulfill a purpose, they get to feel needed and feel a calling on their heart to help someone. And then it just, as you say yes and you realize nobody's going to think you're weak. You know, you're not lazy about anything. It's not that you're not a strong person and all the erroneous messages we tell ourselves, like I can do it by myself. I shouldn't need help. You know, an awful S word, the shoulds. Mm-hmm. Then you realize, okay, I can ask for help. This is not bad that I need help. It doesn't say anything bad about me. So it just, as people show up, take them up on that offer. And it just does become easier when you realize that you can.
Yeah, I really like that insight because I've seen it time and time again with the work that my navigators do at Beacon. Someone may confess, or they may have been referred from the hospital or whatever, that they have, you know, one problem going on in their life. And let's just say it's a food insecurity. Like they maybe don't have enough food to last for the month. And mm-hmm. so we're able to help them with that. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, I also need help with this. And I also need help with that. And it's just like, and I have my theories about why that is, but I've never really asked a client, you know, anybody like, well, why, you know, why? I think it's, some of it is a trust issue, but then I also like the other stuff that you just said about the person may not feel like weak for asking or, you know, ashamed to ask for help, because I think our society gives us a lot of messages.
You should be able to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes. I think is the initial obstacle to get through is from the individual who needs help to ask for it, because we think they're going to think bad of me, or I mm-hmm. should be able to do this, or how embarrassing that I've gotten myself into this. And so we keep ourselves from having support because we don't ask for what we need. And that's scriptural too. I forget where it is, but you don't have because you don't ask. And so we need to be able to ask and go through that vulnerable thing, because it will connect us to other people who can then support us. I had another point, Holly, and it just escaped me with it.
Okay. Well, it will come back.
It will
come back, because I think, and this has been touched on in several of the Helpful Yours episodes, but you touched on it again, so I wanted to bring it up, is that people want to help mm-hmm. others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, your cousin that, you know, offered, I'm sure he or she was like delighted when you said
yes.
drinks.
Yes.
It gave them, you know, a way of being part of the solution and part of that comfort for you.
Yeah. And I just thought of the other thing, and why people like your workers and you getting into the work that you do and me getting into the work they do, it fulfills a purpose. But that second point of the helping, being able to help someone, you said it too, is that trust is then built. when someone helps another person and that first person sees that they will, that they can rely on people, that people will not always disappoint them or abandon them, that help is possible, then it opens up another line of, okay, well, then I can trust you. I can count on you. I can rely on someone in the world. Then I'm more apt to then ask again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. And I think to kind of bring that it back around to the first part when you were talking about helping others, because both those stories you said, they're just, you know, small things, bringing drinks to a memorial service, you know, or, you know, the wake or mm-hmm. whatever people call the, you know, that time around a funeral. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge thing.
Not for the giver, but for the receiver, it was huge.
Yes. But it's just, you talked about it in the beginning, like it's just a lot of little connections mm-hmm. That really have that impact. So, you know, I really, I wanted, and you said, you know, you even believe that down to a cellular level. So I really wanted to like circle back and talk a little bit more about why these little minutes or little sections, you know, mm-hmm. little times of connection are important.
Yeah, I like Brené Brown has a great analogy that life is like a string of white twinkle lights, you know, like your Christmas mm-hmm. lights. A lot of times we think that life has to be these big, grand, big things, and that's what makes life great. It's like I have to do these wonderful things, and people have to do these great things for me and my relationships. If they don't do grand things, then it's not good. And I think we miss the magic of longevity and true sustainable joy in life by looking at it that way. Because if we're looking for all the grand things, that's unsustainable. Like surprise is unsustainable. You know, like happy about something is unsustainable. But a level of joy and contentment throughout is sustainable, where you can experience the grand mountaintop things and experience the dark times, the low times, the sad times, allows you to have a good baseline, a middle that creates a long, joyful, good life. And so the connections, I think, is what does that. Again, it's just the little things, like back to the twinkle lights, sorry.
Okay.
You know, the twinkle lights are delightful to look at. People have them in their yard. They're on their tree. And we would think when you look at it, that is beautiful. But when you look at it, when you break it down, it is little bits of light strung by darkness, strung mm-hmm. by nothing. But so it's piecing together these little bursts of precious light that as a whole make something beautiful.
I think that's true. And, you know, I just think like, what would you rather look at? Like a bunch of, you know, twinkly lights or a big floodlight like in your backyard?
That's
You would rather, most times you're probably rather going to have the little twinkly lights. And also, I mean, I think about the first president, George Bush, had his 1,000 points of light. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember
vaguely
that, but it was like a, you know, an initiative he had about, you know, creating 1,000 points of light across America, of like everybody doing their little part to mm-hmm. kind of light the way. And I kind of connect that with, you know, Brené Brown talking about, you know, twinkly lights mm-hmm. And looking at those.
And you mentioned connections, you know, and back to the play analogy too. The relationships that we build, or if you think about your friendships, your most treasured friendships or relationships, they're not because they did one big grand thing or in the play. If all we did was the show and then the applause, it wouldn't have the magic that it does. The magic is in the connections we make. Whether you make that with God or your higher power, then you're connected. And then the energy is leveled up in that relationship. Same thing when you connect to yourself. A lot of times we get on autopilot, but when you do some grounding things and you connect to what is authentically you and what resonates with you, then you feel like you are more present in your life and able to experience your life. And when you connect with your community by serving, then you're connected to your world. When you connect with your friends or your intimate partners or your significant other, it just levels up. I hate to throw in Brené again, but you know, I'm all about her. I love her research.
You know, I love her too.
I know,
so
we do.
Okay, so everybody else can just hang
get
on
board for a sec. Yeah. But she equates spirituality equals connection. And I just love that. So whether you are, you consider yourself religious with organized religion, or you serve God or another spiritual being or Mother Nature or whatever, either way, when you connect, then you are leveling up your experience of that thing, yourself, your life, that relationship, your, so it's all about connecting.
Oh, Melissa, I always learn like so much just from listening to you and talking with you. And I feel like maybe I got a little mini life coaching session here today. I mean, just to make me think, you know, to be more mindful about the little moments. Because I think all of us, we tend to get caught up in the busyness of our lives and not pay attention to just like the little, you know, twinkly lights that really, if we look for them, are happening every day.
Every
all
day.
Around us.
Yeah. And then it can be good. Like this, Holly, was good. And so I know you come up with another question of why do we think helping others is important? And I think this is why, because we're meant to connect. And it's that vulnerability in helping that allows us to connect. And we feel purposeful in it. And by allowing others to help us, we allow them to feel purposeful too. And it allows our vulnerability, which helps us to connect.
Yeah, I can't even add to that. So I think we're just going to like close it out here
okay.
with these wise words of, you know, connection and vulnerability. And Melissa, I just so appreciate you being on the podcast today and sharing your stories, your ideas, your heart. I just really appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Holly. I just love our relationship. So thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This has been an Atomic K production. Recording was done in Lafayette, Louisiana by Holly Howitt with editing and technical assistance from Spencer Howitt. Check out our website at helpfully-yours.alitu.com to listen to all episodes and as well as show notes. To make sure you don't miss an episode, make sure to subscribe to the Helpfully Yours podcast. Music is from Scenic World's Dissolving Art album. The Helpfully Yours podcast supports the mission of Beacon Community Connections. Learn more at beaconconnections.org.